I love the ideas around flexible thinking that Jean offered us earlier. And by the way, just because the children aren't here doesn't mean there can't be people at that table doing coloring and stuff. Thank you for being there, Jean. Words of motivation to keep us focused. A backup plan. What a great example. And being open to options, right, for when change inevitably comes around. Intentional practices of trying new things, creating new things, challenging ourselves. All these tools teach our brains that not all experiences that are unexpected are negative, that change does not have to be overwhelming, and that we can adapt to it. Thinking like a palm tree means training ourselves in flexible thinking, teaching ourselves to be yielding, receptive, in harmony with living. That is the teaching of this chapter of the Tao Te Ching, that flexible thinking is important to living well, and that is not a surprise. It's emphasized in the Taoist teaching called Wu Wei, which translates to non-doing or doing nothing. Literally, though, Wu Wei is actually about maintaining a state of peace no matter how challenging our situation is, and about being at one with what we're doing and in a state of flow. It means striving to make our behavior as spontaneous and inevitable as some natural processes, like the cyclical nature of time and the seasons. Wu Wei involves letting go of thoughts or ideals that we might otherwise try to force too violently onto things, or engaging in flexible thinking. What can follow is a loss of self-consciousness, a new unity between the self and its environment. This change in state unleashes energy that's normally held back by an overly aggressive, willful style of thinking, like an oak. The Tao Te Ching points out that to achieve Wu Wei, we should be like water, which is, quote, submissive and weak, and yet which can't be surpassed for attacking what is hard and strong. Through gentle persistence and compliance with the specific shape of a problem, an obstacle can be worked around and gradually eroded. And those tools Jean talked about come to mind for that. So the benefits of flexible thinking are clear. A more peaceful way of being is something that I would imagine many of us want. Yes? And I don't know about you, but gentle persistence and receptivity and yielding don't feel particularly natural to me. I want to push to make what's right in the world happen. I want to be deeply rooted and strong like an oak. I want to be active in making the change that needs to happen. I want to feel like I'm making a difference. And at the same time, I get trapped in the enormity of what needs to be done. I mean that on an existential level, right? On the big level, my God, the world, right? But also on a really practical, everyday level. I get paralyzed when there's too much. I just stop. And in particular, I get paralyzed when what is happening in the world feels like a threat. In his beautiful and healing book on generational trauma called My Grandmother's Hands, Rezma Menakem shares an understanding about how this works physiologically. This is a very long quote that I am going to read you, and I'm sharing it in its entirety because the original words are just so powerful, and there is nothing better than I could say. So here's what he wrote. Most human behavior involves a part of the body that many people don't know about, the soul nerve. The soul nerve is the unifying organ of the entire nervous system. Health and mental health professionals call it the vagus nerve, or the wandering nerve, but I call it the soul nerve, a much stickier and more descriptive term. The soul nerve is not a nerve in the way we typically think of one. It is a highly complex and extraordinarily sensitive organ that communicates through vibes and sensations. This communication occurs not only between different parts of the body, but also from one person to another. Your soul nerve reaches into most of your body, including your throat, lungs, heart, stomach, liver, spleen, pancreas, kidney, and gut, both your large and small intestine. It is the largest organ in your body's autonomic nervous system, which regulates all of your body's basic functions. The largest part of your soul nerve goes through your gut, which has about 100 million neurons, more than your spinal cord. This is why we sense so many things in our belly and why some biologists call the gut our second brain. This second brain is where our body senses flow, coherence, and the rightness and wrongness of things. One of the organs your soul nerve does not connect to, however, is your thinking brain. It connects directly to your brainstem, your lizard brain. We're only now beginning to understand how the soul nerve works. The organ was not identified until 1921, and much of what we know today was discovered only in the past two decades. There are a great many things about it we still don't understand. We do know that the soul nerve is where we experience a felt sense of love, compassion, fear, grief, dread, sadness, loneliness, hope, empathy, anxiety, caring, disgust, despair, and many other things that make us human. When your body has an emotional response, such as when your stomach clenches, your voice catches, your pulse races, your shoulders tighten, your breathing quickens, your body braces for impact, or you have a sense that danger is lurking, that is your soul nerve at work. When you feel your heart opening or closing down, when you feel anxious in the pit of your stomach, when you sense that something wonderful or terrible is about to happen, when something feels right or wrong in your gut, when your heart sinks, when your spirit soars, or when your stomach turns in nausea, all of these involve your soul nerve. When your body feels relaxed, open, settled, and in sync with other bodies, that's your soul nerve functioning. When it feels energized, vibrant, and full of life, that's also your soul nerve. When it feels tight, constrictive, and self-protective, that is your soul nerve too. And whenever you have a fight, flee, or freeze response, that involves your soul nerve as well. In fact, one of the purposes of your soul nerve, one of the main purposes, is to receive fight, flee, or freeze messages from your lizard brain and spread them to the rest of your body. Another purpose is precisely the opposite, to receive and spread the message of it's okay. You're safe right now. You can relax. Your soul nerve is vital to your health and well-being. It regulates your breathing, heart rate, and blood pressure. It helps prevent inflammation, and it can reduce pain, improve your mood, and help you manage fear. We also know that your soul nerve is intimately connected with how your body interacts with other bodies and how your body makes memories. Without your soul nerve, you literally would not be human. But your soul nerve, like your lizard brain, has no capacity to think. Your soul nerve tells most of the muscles in your body when to constrict, when to release, when to move, when to relax and settle. Much of this is outside your deliberate conscious control. However, as you will discover with some attention and practice, you can work with your soul nerve. You can learn to work with your soul nerve. With practice, you can begin to consciously and deliberately relax your muscles, settle your body, Soothe yourself during difficult or high-stress situations. This will help you avoid reflexively sliding into a fight, flee, or freeze response in situations where such a response is unnecessary. End quote. So what he's saying is that there are times that your body fights, flees, or freezes when it's no longer a matter of your physical survival like it has to be. Any trauma, any stress, any discomfort that triggers an old wound hits your soul nerve and creates that response. How many of us have gone through our lives believing that there's something wrong with us when we don't have the capacity for flexible thinking? I've been wrestling this for a while lately. When we can't try new things, when we can't create new things, when we are incapable of making backup plans and challenging ourselves because there is just too much. When we need relief because we can't function in the stress. As I say that, I am noticing the tension in my body, and I invite you to do the same. Where in your body are you tense? Notice those places. Clench them just a little harder for a second. And then intentionally release. This explanation of the vagus nerve or the soul nerve gives me a whole other level of understanding of grounding myself, of helping a part of my physiology recognize that it's safe. It is not just in my head. So since reading this piece, I've been working on learning how to find release by soothing my soul nerve when that feeling comes around. That feeling for me is a racy, scattered, kind of trembling feeling that has been really strong in me since March of 2020, when we began the great uncharted journey into the new normal. That fight, flight, or freeze response generated by my lizard brain and by my soul nerve, that response evolved to keep us physically safe, for sure. But what Resmaa Menakem says is that it's also triggered when we feel the emotional threats that are brought when we're faced with change. And because this is a physiological thing, not just a mind or a spirit thing that we can attend to with talk and spiritual practice, although those things help, for sure. He offers body practices designed to help us soothe our soul nerve when it gets triggered by any kind of sense that we're unsafe, including change, including shutting down buildings and isolating and wearing masks and having everything around us look and feel different. Soothing our soul nerve means reminding our bodies that we're safe. We all have reasons for our rigidity, for our fight and flight and freeze responses. Among other things, rigidity is a response to trauma. I talked last week about the trauma white folks like me have inherited from our ancestors. And of course, there are so many other sources of traumas in today's world. We have to feel safe in order to loosen. What Resmaa Menakem is teaching me is a set of tools to help me feel safe, to help my body understand that it's safe when my mind is whirling. I can think of another set of tools that helps me feel safe as well. Y'all sitting right here, y'all watching right here. This community creates a space where safety is possible, where we can practice some of these tools in love and in trust, knowing that there is space of compassion and forgiveness. If you are new to this community, or even if you are not new to this community, you might not feel that, and that is totally okay. It makes sense. For now, if safety feels out of reach for you, I hope you will talk with me. I hope you will talk with each other and find out a little bit about what makes each of us feel safe when we're here. If it is something you experience here, I ask you to learn with me how to expand that sense of safety to hold anyone who comes into these doors. I look forward to practicing these tools, this understanding that, of course, my body doesn't feel safe when something triggers that soul move. I invite you to do that with me. May it be so, and may we be so.